League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
He's a footballer.
I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell.
He's a footballer.
Hello and welcome to Soccer Sense, the sensible football podcast. This is Tariq joining you along with Vishal.
Hey guys.
All right, Vishal. So, let's get started.
Yep.
We're at the fag end of the season. We are recording this just a day before what would usually be called Championship Sunday. But we already had a crown champion.
Signed, sealed and delivered.
And we already know who the relegation candidates are.
Signed, sealed and delivered again.
And we thought these two battles would go down to the last day. Incidentally, they haven't. Yeah. The battles that have gone down to the last day.
Second, third, fourth and fifth.
So, quick word on that. Especially...
I think all these...
Both of them have gone down to... Inter-city rivalries, Manchester City against Manchester United for third and fourth.
And Arsenal versus
Tottenham. And Arsenal, Tottenham for that second and third place.
Well, looks like Tottenham are pulling a Tottenham at the end of the season, finally. It's about time. And Arsenal are trying to pull it together. And Manchester United and Man City are clueless about what's happening. So, this is kind of comical. And I think this is the point in time where all these clubs sit back and forget Tottenham. I think especially United, Arsenal and City look back and reflect and decide how they want to take it forward to next year, because this season has been atrocious for all of them, and to have Leicester comfortable champions at this stage is honestly an insult to these clubs who spent filthy amounts of money, have great players, have great staff, have great stadiums, have great fans, have everything in place, but cannot seem to get the basics right. So, yeah.
So, not the kind of results they wanted.
Yep.
And of course, how can we do the last episode of this season without talking about Leicester City? But from a slightly different angle, you brought out the point about these clubs having spent so much money, having spent so much effort. Maybe we don't know about Louis van Gaal.
I think that was from YouTube.
But that much of effort and not being able to put a Leicester behind.
Yeah.
It's a shock victory for everybody. So there has been a lot of celebration about it, naturally.
Yeah.
We have talked about it so much, about how it's a great romantic story for football and so on. But not everybody seems to be in a joyous mood.
Correct.
So The Economist, which is a professional killjoy since 18 whatever they've been published, talked about how Leicester's victory should be celebrated but not sentimentalized, whatever that means. So their essential thrust of the story was,
hey, we are robots.
You know, Arsenal have been the most consistent team, Leicester is just a one-off story, etc., etc. And one of the lines that really shocked me was, it said that unpredictable wins and events could lead to a wrong way of thinking.
And
because
consistency does not equal to excellence.
Yeah, and predictability is one of civilization's greatest achievements.
Aston Villa have been the most consistent team too.
So it seemed like typical economist heavy-duty speak.
Yeah.
To try and sound intellectual.
Yeah.
But that's the least of the problems. Another program, BBC's More or Less, which statistically investigates such phenomena, spoke to another gentleman who talked about how this looked. As likely as any other event, basically tried to put down Leicester's victory largely to chance.
Yep.
We at Soccer Sense like analytics, but at the same time, we also like sensible stuff.
Yeah.
Your take on why you think this is not making a lot of sense, because they're trying to discredit Leicester here.
Because like I said, they're looking at data and reading it the way they want to. For example, the statement that Arsenal has been the most consistent team, I mean, come on. They have not won the league in 10 years, but sure, they finished fourth for 10 years in a row, but that's not the point of first, beginning the second, third, fourth. It's about during that 38 games, the best team who've got the maximum number of points, and Leicester have done it consistently and have been worthy winners, because not only have they beaten the smaller teams, they've beaten the bigger teams, they've drawn the bigger teams, they've got the right fixtures, they've got the right results in the right fixtures, they've done a lot of things right.
So, and we've always talked about on this podcast how 38 games is a long season, it's tough to maintain the consistency.
For example, look at Man City. They started with winning five games on a trot.
Without a single goal conceded.
Everybody thought they were going to blow the season away, but it's about consistency, right?
So, amazingly, people looking for the counter narratives now are saying 38 games is not long enough.
Well, ask them to play it.
A season to discover who's the most consistent. So, that's been the case. But what I think everybody seems to be missing here, and we'll get your opinion on it now, is that the small things that Leicester have done behind the scenes,
correct,
which is about conditioning of players, which is about the kind of training regime they have been following, not enough has been talked about them. For example, with Arsenal, we have always said problems with injury might be because of training methods.
Because I read this great article about how Leicester bought the oxygen tank to keep players fit, and this is something they started experimenting with 2 years back, and I've now got anything. And also, if you look at how Leicester have used their players, right? So, for example, they have not had injuries because one, of extreme conditioning or off the field during training, and two is also the way they use substitutes. I think Claudio Ranieri, the minute he hit 60-65 minutes, he always took the same set of players off. He made sure the players...
Okazaki
was a great example. He would not play more than 65 minutes a game, no matter what the situation. So he used players based on their strength, based on the durability, based on all of it. And that's smart. Not a lot of clubs. For example, there was a time where Wenger played Sanchez and Carzola with nagging injuries, and that cost them the season. It takes a smart manager to know when to play his player and when not to play his player. And I'm sorry if you've not noticed that bit, but open your eyes. It's pretty obvious as to how Leicester planned
this season. Those who are trying to use analytics to try and discredit Leicester are losing this idea in plain sight that Leicester have actually been using a scientific method in analytics in the first place.
See, that's the thing, right? So while what a lot of people are forgetting, while the beauty of Leicester winning is, a lot of people have forgotten that there's a lot of work that's gone in the background to get this team to where they are. Like Claudio Ranieri said, in week one he knew he had a special squad. It's not because he just wanted to say random stuff. It's because he noticed that there is a skill set that he has in place and he can use it. And he's used it very well. If you see the style of football Leicester played, have been old school Italian football. Yeah, their defense has not been the greatest defenders, but a tight defensive knit team. And they had each other's back, and that's how they...
And they've been relying on the counter-attack.
Yeah, and they've been relying on counter-attacks. And simple things, for example, every set piece. When Leicester kept Mahrez and Vardy at the half line, they made sure that the opponent cannot push enough players up front, so that reduces their chance of scoring, forget their chance of defending. That's again very smart usage of your skill and your player's strength. So there's a lot of things that they've done right which people refuse to think, because while it's easy to get carried away with the whole fairy tale bit, you need to realize that there's a lot of thinking that's gone
ahead. Fairy tale doesn't happen overnight.
Correct.
And at least I'm happy to note that at least from one quarter they received a lot of support and admiration, and that quarter was Billy Beane of the Oakland A's, the Moneyball Billy Beane, who said that they did a terrific job. So I think you might not want to look at the...
And here's a stat which a lot of people have missed out, right? The most number of passes to the final third by a player is Cesc Fabregas, followed by Kasper Schmeichel. Yes, a goalkeeper has the second highest number of passes in the league to the higher end of the pitch. What does that mean? Again, thought through, using your strength. So there are a lot of stats that you misinterpret and or choose not to read for your convenience. That's my problem with stats in the first place.
Okay, so we still believe in the Leicester story, and that's precisely why we have this podcast here, to talk about such stuff. I will close this out with the final two remaining games in the European season. One is, of course, the Champions League final. The Madrid rivalry again after 2014. Atletico versus Real. We'll come to that in just a moment. And the other competition, the Europa League, or as it is known, Spanish Cup competition featuring other teams.
Other teams.
So we have Sevilla facing Liverpool. I will not say anything because I might sound biased. Vishal, your take on Liverpool's first European final in 9 years?
Oh, wow. I think Klopp has transformed a very mediocre team by just making them work very, very hard. So this is a team which is not great, honestly, but they have a bunch of good players who are playing very well because of the work rate that has been induced into them and the fact that they work very hard. However, I still think Sevilla are a good team, and Liverpool need to play out of their skin because most of these players have almost zero experience in a big stage like this. So Liverpool will still need to play out of their skin, but I still favour Liverpool in this, simply because Klopp is a big game manager. He knows what is required in these big games, and I think he's been very smart with his usage of Sturridge by not overly exposing him or not overly playing him, and I think he's going to be fresh for the finals as well. And I don't think the Spanish defense is anyway, most clubs in Spain can't defend, so I think
so it'll probably depend a lot on how Coutinho and Firmino shape up and feed Sturridge.
If Liverpool unleash pace on them with Benteke coming in the final quarter of the game, I think Liverpool have this game, because I don't think Liverpool will. I think it'll be who outscores who over here. I don't think this is going to be a clean sheet at all.
Are we looking at a 5-4 Alaves 2001?
possible, but I definitely think this is about who scores.
Merseyside, I don't mind.
Yeah. I think this is about who scores more.
Alright, and of course there's one last final to talk about, and that's Atletico Madrid versus Real Madrid.
Yeah.
These are very different circumstances than the 2014 final.
Yep.
Atletico must be thinking they have to take this because they have themselves to blame to have taken themselves out of the La Liga contention.
Correct.
But in a good way, in the sense that the last week they don't have to worry about it.
Yep. So I think this is a very tricky game because Madrid under Zidane are playing the ugly game for a change. Yeah, they don't want to have 100% position. They don't want to have the flair. They're being efficient for a change. And I'm almost surprised to see that because they beat Barcelona only because they were efficient in the El Clasico.
And that's what sparked their title run.
And that's exactly where it began. So I think Madrid, Real Madrid are doing a lot of things right currently. I think Zidane is a very smart footballer, and that is translating into the way his team is playing. He, for example, has induced a defensive midfielder back into the squad and back into the setup, and at the cost of keeping a Cruz or keeping a Modric or keeping one of them out of the squad, which is okay for him, but he's making sure his backline is protected. So if Atletico Madrid's approach is defense versus having a stronger defense, I think that will be the wrong approach. I think they need to take this game by the neck.
Because so far Atletico have relied on keeping clean sheets and trying to win games.
If they sit back, I think Bale, Ronaldo will kill them. I think so, because Bale also is in excellent form. Ronaldo is anyway on a big game player who will come up and do his thing. So if they're going to sit back in this game, they will lose this game. So I think they need to take this game by the neck and score early.
So this could be another Spanish classic in the making.
For sure. And I think this is going to be a great final again, because Diego Simeone's clubs do exude passion. So I think you're going to have an interesting final.
And we have the final at Lisbon. Ronaldo in Lisbon, that should be
this is like perfect stage for the man. So let's see how it goes. But okay. No, the final is at San Siro. Sorry.
Oh, okay. So it's in Milan. Yeah. Okay, so that kind of brings us to the end of this season and this series of Soccer Sense.
Yeah.
It's been a pleasure bringing you this particular season.
Yeah.
Not just because of the storylines, but
we are part of history.
Amazing, amazing things, and we are glad that our first episode featured Leicester, and so does our last. And of course, we'll be back next season. In fact, we'll be back for a special, special set of pods during Euro 2016.
Of course.
All right, so in the meantime, this is Tariq signing off along with Vishal.
See you guys.
And you can find us on Stitcher, iTunes, as well as Pocket Cast. So please look us up there and let us know also what do you think of our opening team that we are debuting this week, featuring Claudio Ranieri and Sir Alex. All right, see you guys.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1-pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to aero hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.